everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And today we are very excited to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. This is so fun.
Yay!
And I am film critic Rachel Wagner, and we are here to talk about the last four Hallmark movies that were done on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And so we're real excited to talk about them. And today I have with me Anna's here.
Hi, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey. And Cammie's here.
Gobble, gobble. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, we hope you can turn this on. It can be some fun company as you cook and get everything ready for the big meal. So hope y'all enjoy it. But we're going to talk about four different movies. And I actually enjoyed all four of these movies. I thought they were all entertaining. So yeah, let's dive in and talk about the Gift to Remember 2. It was Cherished Memories. Gift to Remember 2 was the actual final title. And the summary is, a year after Darcy ran over Aiden, his amnesia is gone, but not their love. Now she's gotten him a first edition signed copy of his favorite book, Patricia Highsmith's, found in the street for Christmas. Perfect, since that's where she found him, under her bicycle. Aiden's also creating a wonderful gift for Darcy, a carved replica of her hometown, just like the one her dad carved for her mother. But Aiden's gift, which includes a carving of Darcy's beloved rec center, which is in jeopardy of closing, holds another big surprise, which might just sweep her off her feet. All right. So, and what was your overall thoughts about the first movie, but then also sort of the sequel?
I enjoyed the first movie a lot. I actually watched it for the first time this summer, when Christmas mm-hmm. in July.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. I liked their chemistry. And I liked the whole movie, just the way, you know, she had hit him and then she was like, you know, trying to figure out who he was. And then they thought he was a different person. And then he was, you know, it was just kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But the second one, I really enjoyed it. And I wasn't sure because it was a sequel. I was like, oh, you know, they're not really have the best track record with sequels.
Yeah.
But this sequel I thought was well done. You know, it just felt like a continuation of the love story and, you know, at Christmas time, which was just really special. And, you know, they didn't really have conflict. They just, you know, talked a lot about, you know, memories and thoughtfulness and great gifts. And so it was really enjoyable. I really enjoyed it, especially the end. There's so much sweetness there.
Yeah. And what about you, Cammie? What did you think of the first and then this second one?
I thought the first one was amnesia done very cleverly. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of ways that they've done amnesia in the past, but most of the time it involves a car. And so for her to be the one that hits him, and then his phone and wallet just happen to wash down the gutter.
Yeah.
And he just happens to be staying at a friend's house instead of it being his
own.
You know, it was a really clever take on the amnesia angle. It was different and I really appreciated that. And the chemistry between the two of them is really, really good. And they built it at the perfect pace. Mm-hmm. And in both of them, there wasn't this horrible conflict where they had a falling out and they're angry at each other and they hate each other and everything that they've built in the movie falls apart in 5 seconds. There, you know, she is being noble and says, go back to your life and find out who you are, because for all she knows, he's a married man, you know, and so she says, go back and find out who you are. And then in the second one, there, you know, he's keeping stuff from her, but he tells her that it's for a present. So very mm-hmm. smart man, you know.
Yes.
He's not just lying to her. He says, I have a present for you. You can't come in. Which is the right way to do it. And I adored the way they did almost everything. The one thing was in the beginning of the second one, in the beginning of Cherished Memories, I thought they were a little stiff. I thought, where's the hand holding? Where's the walking while hand holding? But then it built up and they got closer and closer and the affection grew, because you know they're supposed to be a couple for a year now. And so I thought, right. you guys are a little too comfortable. When you're walking right beside this person that you're supposed to be totally crazy about, you hold hands while you're walking. But then when they went up to the rooftop together, that scene, the only one that outdid it was the proposal for me, because he comes up behind her, he touches her shoulders, he kisses her, the back of her head. It was just, it had all of those little things that just made it real, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't just words. Although the words at the beginning, you can be friends with someone without being boyfriend, girlfriend. Yes, sir. But is she your girlfriend? Yes, she is. You know? That smile on his face, it was hysterical.
I agree with both of you. I think the first one, I mean, I love While You Were Sleeping. It's one of my favorite romantic comedies ever. And I think that year, 2017, I felt like a lot of the movies, whether by accident or by purpose, had sort of a feeling of a paying homage to classic romantic comedy tropes and films. They were just like little things. And I felt like that, even though it wasn't intentional, because I talked with Topher Payne about it, it wasn't intentional, but I definitely felt, you know, it had that feeling of While You Were Sleeping. And I really did enjoy it. Their chemistry was great. And you were just rooting for all the characters. It had really fun side characters. And so this one, I mean, I was pretty confident because of Topher, and I really just, and we talked about it in our interview, because at the time he hadn't been officially announced. So all he could say is, I'm writing it just for fun.
Yeah.
At the time. And I just felt like he got it, because we talked about like the problems of Hallmark sequels, and there was never any sense of these two people breaking up or you know, any kind of conflict like in the All My Heart, you know, sequel or some other stuff that just is tough, is difficult. And
there's no drama for the sake of drama.
Yeah.
Just to write in drama is.
And everything that was going wrong is something that they faced together instead of it splitting them apart.
Yeah.
Which is how it should be, you know?
And I actually felt like this was one of the more pure Christmas movies that we've seen this year. In the sense that I really don't think you could tell the story at any other time of the year, because there's something about, you know, whereas the party stories, the planning a party, the save the whatever, you know, that's purely on those, then you could tell those and we've seen them many times at all different times of the year. But in this case, it was really about the core essence of Christmas is about showing love to the people in your life and to all people. And, you know, at its core, it's about celebration. You know, if you're a religious person, the celebration of Christ, and that's his love, his charity, his goodwill. And I feel like this movie in talking about kind of the perfect gift and how it's sort of how it demonstrates our love for these people, really got to the core of Christmas in a way that we haven't quite seen in any of the movies so far. I've enjoyed almost all the movies so far to some degree or another, but I don't know. I just really appreciated that there was that core of just, how do I show the people in my life that I love them?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level the who, what, when, where, and why you are rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the lengths that they go to, wasn't a competition. They weren't trying to outdo each other. One thing that I thought was super adorable is when Darcy said to Aiden, "We set a budget." He said, I have not exceeded my budget. I have not exceeded the budget. When he said, "Last year, Darcy moved heaven and earth to help me restore my memories. This year, I'll honor hers." Mm-hmm. You know, just everything they did for each other was so thoughtful.
Yes.
And done out of pure love. And just the lengths that they go to in both movies. I mean, Darcy in the first movie said herself, "I am a terrible traveler." But yet she goes to Manhattan to try to tell the woman that she thinks is his girlfriend he has amnesia. And she goes and finds her.
Yeah.
You know, and luckily she turns out to not be, but that's a lot. That's a lot of love, both platonic and then romantic. It just, they went to a lot to show each other that they really care about each other and that they really love each other.
Yeah. And it was just, it wasn't even just them. It was Mrs. Henley. It was everybody in the story.
Got involved
and we're each trying to show love and kindness to the people, whether it's Mrs. Henley and Marcus, whether it's, you know, just all of them. And I thought it was even sort of topped off by the fact that Darcy shows love and kindness to the other bookstore at the end.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I mean, it is kind of ridiculous that this one store this one street can handle two independent bookstores. But putting that aside, it was very at the heart of what Christmas should be. You could not have that same story any other time of the year. I just don't think it would work.
Well, and you know, the other thing is some people might say that's really, really corny.
It is really corny. There's no doubt about it.
But it completely fits Darcy's character. She wouldn't have even given it a second thought. They're in trouble. It's Christmas. Yeah. Of course I'll help.
There is something inherently corny about Christmas. I mean, let's be real. Like, that's part of is there any other holiday where we're like, I got the spirit of Valentine's Day? No, we don't say that. We say about Christmas.
Like, what? Well, I get pretty into St. Patty's Day, you know.
And so I don't know. I just, that was probably one of my favorite things about this, but I just really enjoyed it. How did you guys think about they were sure into that book about the history of information management?
I was just like, I don't even know what's in this book. Like, how could this be interesting?
Like, he's even doing the reading and I'm like,
that was funny.
I'm like, this has to be an inside joke. If Topher is listening, will you please tweet out or whatever? I have to know if it has to be. Why would you have your big sentimental, oh, we're gonna celebrate this author and it's like a huge craze in the town or whatever, this book on information management? I thought that was really funny.
He was from When Calls the Heart, the author.
He was
Ray Wyatt's sidekick, the railroad guy. He was his sidekick. But I think
it was just a funny choice. I thought.
No, it was hysterical. Yeah. I think one of the things about it was that he was so boring, because if you noticed in the beginning of the movie, Darcy saying, sure, we'll take 4 copies, and when they sell, we'll let you know. And just the fact that she gave him a chance, and then Mr. Yeah. Pierce at the end said, you gave him a chance. And so it kind of softened him toward their cause of the rec center. Yeah. It just kind of formed a little loop. And, you know, and then the author that they had lined up, Barbara Strickland, I think was her name.
Something like that.
Yeah. She got pulled out from under them, and by books, of course. Mm-hmm. And so they said, why not? So I don't think that there was no big craze necessarily, except on Christmas Eve, but I don't know.
Was the internet
born at Christmas time, basically? Because I didn't know that.
We'll have to ask Al Gore. I don't know. I
don't know either.
When it was. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. We are so delighted to be working with Glamour Jewelry Box. And you get $5 off on your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com and enter Hallmarkies at checkout, and you can get your first box. When you're trying to finish off that ensemble that you have for the holiday parties, other things going on, you want that perfect accessory to go with your outfit, you get every month a necklace, set of earrings, and a bracelet. Kemi, you got to see this jewelry. What did you think?
I thought it was gorgeous. It was just the right touch of classy, but different. I especially loved the bracelet because it had this kind of twisted, interconnected quality. And so I can't wait to wear it. This is gonna, it's my first little bit of Hallmarkies merch that I'm getting as an official podcast member. So I'm excited, and it's gonna be, I can't wait. Yeah.
It's really cool. And you get $5 off on your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com and enter Hallmarkies at checkout, and you can get your first box. But what did you think about the two other main plots? Is you have Marcus, who's lonely but staying with his aunt and with Mrs. Henley, and he starts to kind of get in the spirit of Christmas. And that was, I thought, a pretty cute little side story, B storyline.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought he was so cute, and he was just like smart and just, you know, wanted to help. And he really did get into the spirit of Christmas, which I love to see that as him, you know, as a kid. And I thought it was hilarious they let him be a judge in that cookie contest. I don't know why. I just was like, what? It's like, just be like adults, like children can't really make like, you know, advanced decisions about whatever, cookies or anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I liked Marcus's storyline.
Yeah. And I really like I really like Mrs. Henley as a side character, and Tina goodness. Lifford, I think, is really lovely. I think she does a good job.
Great, yeah.
She needs to stop interrupting them.
Yeah, that's true.
Almost every single time they get interrupted, it's her. Yeah, it's her fault.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
That is. And then all the other storyline is you have this rec center that the the bad man of business wants to. Yeah. And this actor, I think his name is Ben Wilkinson, he is always either the bad man of business or the person who gets murdered in the mystery show.
Yeah. I mean, I see him so much. Yeah. He's always, always those two roles.
Yeah.
In the engaging Father Christmas movie, he was the report. Well, right. I guess you could say he was the bad man of business in that way, because he was the mean reporter. Don't you dare, Rachel.
No,
I know
that
you
was
don't.
The worst.
I like that movie.
Oh, it was terrible. But yeah, I won't even get started. But yeah, he was the sniveling reporter who wants to break the big secret about her father.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, he's the blackmailer in that movie. But
so
he's
I guess you could call
kind of
him a
character.
Bad man of business. Yeah, I guess.
And Yeah, and he gets murdered in the first Morning Show Mystery. He gets murdered in Mystery 101. I think it's Dead Talk.
He gets murdered in a garage sale mystery.
Yeah.
And he got murdered in a gourmet detective one, yeah, too.
That's so funny.
So, you know, knock on wood, Ben. Knock on wood.
Yeah. He's nailing it, man. He knows how to get murdered, evidently, and how to be a bad man of business. But his family has, I felt kind of sorry for him because his family has basically been propping up this rec center for forever. And he's finally like, okay, I'm going to sell it. And so, I mean, it's not like he was just like, burn it down. I don't care about your rec center. Yeah. Like, he did care for many years. It was just,
yeah.
I do think that is one thing that we have to be careful of in these movies is they're always just the bad guy.
Yeah.
But you know, they have their reasons. That was one thing I thought was so interesting about Christmas Under the Stars is that Clem, the character of Clem, is actually angry at Nick, Jesse Metcalf's character, for not taking the big corporate job. I said,
yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, that's a switch. You know? So he's like, why are you doing this? No, you go take that job. I thought, wow. Okay. So, yeah. But yeah, I just thought that we have to, you know, we have to be careful to not always make them the Scrooges of the story. But but I thought that the big thing I loved about his character was at the very end with when he was talking about his nephew and saying he had trouble and he finally did something that got him out of his shell and it got him out of trouble.
Yeah.
And that was writing a book and you gave him a chance. And then at the party when she says, I went and signed those papers and Aiden's eyes just bug out. Shh, 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 shh. No, 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 no.
Yeah, that was funny.
That had to be the funniest part of the movie is just saying, and he played along.
He did.
Yes, that's very important. I'm glad you got it done.
I have to give you credit, Cammy. You remember names so well. If you had
offered
me $1 million, I would not have been able to tell you Jessica Metcalf's name in that movie. That is so impressive.
Okay, so where's my million? Mama needs a brand new house. Where's my million?
That is so impressive.
That is impressive. I can barely remember the people's names that we're talking, you know, in the movies we're actually talking about, let alone 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
I'm just like, Alicia Witt's character. I have no idea. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Very impressive. But yeah. And I loved how I, first of all, it was so sweet the way that what the attention to detail that Aiden took in making the village. Like, he didn't just sort of make it like kind of like it. Like, he really, and then he got Marcus involved, which was the cutest thing when he's doing the ad libs.
Oh, it was so cute. I love that.
And they're like, high five.
It's Darcy, cover it up. Yeah. I can't, the paint's not dry. Hey, sweetheart.
Yeah, that was really, really cute. And of course, they end his story arc with his dad coming home, and that was adorable.
Yeah,
it was so cute.
We got a real theme of
It's like, how many
year?
Military dads? They're like 10 military dads so far. I don't even know. It's a lot.
They're hitting it hard, and you know, the funny thing is, I don't mind it. I don't mind it a bit. It's really sweet. I don't know what exactly it is, but I don't mind it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very oh sweet. No, it's super cheesy, but it's all part of
it. But it gets me every time.
Yeah, it's just, like,
oh no. No again. No. I'm going to cry again.
Yeah. it really, I mean, even in the Christmas camp, which I really didn't like, that's the one part I liked was the soldier coming home of that movie.
It's just something in your heart that it pulls, and it's just, no matter how many times you see it, you're just like, oh my gosh.
That's, well, that one more made it home alive.
Yes, it's true.
I think that's a big one, is that one more made it home and made it home alive and uninjured.
Yeah. So the whole thing with the gift of the village was so thoughtful and so well done, and just that it took all that extra effort to make it the attention to detail, and then of course they go outside and he has another house, their house, and
oh my gosh.
There's a proposal, and I just loved that proposal. I thought it was so well done.
That was epic. Such an epic proposal. Oh my gosh. I was crying the entire time. I thought I was gonna die. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, any stiffness I thought they had, I take it all back. I take it all back. That was perfect. It could not have been any more perfect.
Yeah, I agree. It was. So all in all, in this movie, I really enjoyed it. I would give it 4.25 crowns. I can't remember what I gave the original, but yeah, 4.25. I really liked it. What about you, Anne?
Ooh, I'm trying to remember what I put in my story. I think it was like... was it 4 or was it, I feel like it was over 4, but I would say 4.5 crowns. It was just, it was well done. It was just so good. I really enjoyed it.
What about you, Cammy? What would you give it?
Ooh, probably 4.5 or 4.75. It's pretty darn close to 5. Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah, please.
One thing that I really loved is them talking to that older couple and that they learned a thing or two about love from them, because my husband and I been married for 11 years, and sometimes I think we're still trying to figure each other out. We're still trying to figure things out. I sometimes feel like I'm not doing things right, and it frustrates me. And so to just hear, it takes a lifetime to learn to love someone properly. My heart just melted right there.
Yeah.
And then whenever and however you can, save the best of yourselves for each other. So often we come home and we drop everything and we vent and everything comes out in the negative. And I just thought, oh my goodness, that's just one thing that I can do better, is I can save the best of myself for my husband, for my children, for my friends, you know, and so them offering those words of wisdom to a young couple, that was beautiful. Yeah. It really was. I'm going to start writing that on wedding cards. You know?
Yeah, seriously.
So Topher, you rule, man. That was golden right there.
Yeah. Totally identified with that. I thought that was really great too. Yeah. I was like, wow, yes. It takes a long time to learn how to love somebody the right way, because I know I don't. So I'm trying to learn.
Yeah. All right. Well, next up we have our Christmas love song, and this starred Alicia Witt and Brendan Hines. And it's "When Country Star Melody Jones is accused of plagiarizing her holiday single, she returns home to spend Christmas with her estranged family and old flame and learns what's important in life." So there were a number of things that I liked in this movie. I thought the plagiarism story arc was something new. I appreciated that.
Yes.
I don't think we've seen that ever as a conflict in my memory in any of these Christmas movies. So I liked that. I thought it was kind of fresh, and it felt like reasonably authentic that this could happen. And you know, how many times have we seen Save the Whatever? And this was something, it was like, oh, a new conflict. It was refreshing.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, I really appreciated the fact that they just kind of started dating right away. There's supposedly this had this history, and maybe some people would think that's unrealistic, but I kind of appreciated that we just
They weren't fighting for half the movie, or three-fourths of the movie.
They were just kind of like, okay, let's give it a shot. It was kind of refreshing to me.
It was.
Yeah.
They were a lot friendlier, even from the beginning. Yeah. You know, you could tell that there had been history, but there wasn't this, rah, 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 here you are again. Rah, rah, rah.
Yeah. Oh, you broke my heart and did this to me, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought that Alicia and Brendan were great together. I really enjoyed their chemistry. And I do think it is kind of, this is totally a nitpick, but it's kind of funny. Cause in all of these movies, these actresses are wearing like really strong colored lipstick and they kiss. And I'm like,
where is it?
There would definitely have to be some on the man.
Like, wow, it's vanishing. Amazing vanishing lipstick.
It's color stay. You know?
Right.
All the women in every movie have it.
but I liked that they just right away went on a date to the tree lighting and that was cute. And I also liked the fact that they were very supportive of each other. And when she's gonna leave to go, he was like, okay, I understand.
Of course you should go. It's Hunter Hamilton. Go.
Yeah. I mean, which especially makes sense if he's also a musician, you know, like, of course that he would be supportive of that. And so that was refreshing. There were just a lot of things about this movie that I really thought, oh, that was a nice choice. Way to go.
I loved Nancy Grace's cameo.
Yeah, that was
oh my gosh, she was so funny. She was funny. I started cracking up. Oh my gosh, she's the town gossip.
it was really funny, but it was very random. Like, what?
That's the whole point. Yeah. That's the whole point, because in all of the Nancy Grace stuff, you never know where she's gonna pop up. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was so funny, because you had to be watching. Like, oh, there she is.
But why? It's because she wrote the books in the Haley Dean. What is her connection to this?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
It was a story by her.
Oh, I see. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was a story by her and one other person. I can't remember the other person, but yeah, it was a story by her.
But yeah, I didn't know that. So I was just kind of like, oh, fun. That's fun. Cause I like weird random stuff in my movies sometimes. So yeah, that was, I enjoyed it as well. I thought they had really nice chemistry, two of them. And you did get a really early kiss, which was really fun.
Yeah, buddy.
Yes. We're collecting a few of those. I like it.
Yeah. Isn't it the best?
Yes, the best. It is. It's the best. I love it.
And also the fact that they were like, that was nice. Or it's similar to that.
We just had a moment.
Yeah, that's what they said. You're right.
I enjoyed them talking about it instead of just like pretending like it didn't happen or whatever. Yes! They always just kind of, you know. So that was nice that they talked about it.
I remember watching that part. Like, that was a nice moment. I went, whoa. they're not ignoring it.
Yeah. Or somebody saying, oh yeah, I have to leave right now. I have to be somewhere. I just remembered, you know, whatever.
Yeah. My only kind of, I guess, gripe with this movie was that it's partly my own fault, but from the publicity and from my interview with Alicia, I thought that the whole Grand Ole Opry part would be a lot bigger. I mean it's not a big deal, it's not part of really that much of the story, but I just felt like that had been kind of built up a little bit for me.
But
I thought that their song was nice, like it wasn't too showy for me. It was just a simple song.
Because that was something in the preview show that we had been worried about, that it would be too showy, or that it wouldn't quite fit Alicia's voice or something like that. But it was very nice.
It was very nice.
It was good too.
And I just love Alicia for her like responses to things when she gets sort of, I know some people don't like it, but I like it that she gets those sort of big eyes and she just has such fun. She brings a little bit of humor to whatever role she's doing, where, you know, she makes me laugh, she makes me smile, just her responses to things. And And so I thought that she looks sort of askance at what people are doing, or just kind of have a funny expression. And so I that's why I think she is always one of my favorites every year.
My first drama teacher in college, that's one of the first things he taught us, is find the humor. Mm-hmm. Find the humor in any story. Make it a tragedy or a comedy or a romance or just a drama. You find the humor in your lines. And you know what? It makes all the difference in the world, because people need relief. People need relief. And that, so yeah, she does that very well. And she does it all the time. And it's really good, because we're able to smile through our tears, or we're able to smile through our mad faces, or something like that. It just lightens it up.
Right. I agree.
And it makes it more real, because so many times we're trying to lighten the mood when we're angry or sad or something like that. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would give this one, I think also four, I'm going to give it 4 crowns. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. What about you, Anne?
I think I just looked at my story so I could know. I gave it 3.5, and mm-hmm. I can't even really tell you why. I guess that was just how I felt when I had just finished it. But I mean, yeah, and that's still better than, you know, that's over, you know, over half. And so, yeah, 3.5.
Mm-hmm. Very good. What about you, Kimi?
I'm going to go with 4. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with 4. It wasn't my favorite, but I did enjoy it very much.
Okay.
And I don't have any particular gripe about it.
Cool. So. Great to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are the good folks over at Skylight Frame. And right now you can get a special holiday offer. You can get $10 off your first purchase, Skylight Frame, when you go to skylightframe.com and enter Hallmark. So not Hallmarkies, but Hallmark. And so $10 off your purchase. You go to Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, code Hallmark. What's special about Skylight Frame is it's a digital frame, which we've seen those for a long time, but what's really cool is that you can easily upload. You don't have to be connected to anything, and people can send images to your frame just using their email and their phones. And so it could be really fun. You could be watching your frame and surprise, a picture from your family member, from your friends, whatever, will just appear. And I think especially for a gift, I think it would make a great wedding gift. It certainly makes a great Christmas gift. It's just a really fun little product. And I know you've gotten to hear quite a bit about Skylight Frame, and what do you think about it?
I think it's great, because you can just easily just send the photos right to this frame. And so you don't have to connect with USB or anything. Yeah. You just send it right there. And so if you took something, you know, on your vacation, that when you get back, you can just email it right to the frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very convenient.
And right now you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame. Go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark, and you'll get, like I said, $10 off your purchase. Go to skylightframe.com, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, promo code Hallmark. We have Christmas Duet, and this stars Chailey Rose, and she was a delight to interview. I really enjoyed talking with her, so if you haven't listened to that interview, I definitely recommend it. She was a fun, I think she has a lot of potential in Hallmark. I thought that she was very bright and bubbly, and just, I think she could do a lot of fun roles.
She was very lovely.
Yeah.
She has a very uniquely beautiful face.
Yeah. And her hair is beautiful. Yeah. Her eyes. Yeah. She's just so pretty.
Yeah.
Usually I don't go for the big curly hair, but it looked really good on her.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't
look fit her
place. Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't look out of place. It looked very good on her.
Yeah. Oh my, I'm always team curly hair, because I had team curly hair, but and it's so rarely included, but she looked great. And I thought that she just really elevated it, just making, to me, she was just very bright and bubbly, kind of everything you want in a Hallmark heroine.
Yeah.
So I hope that they continue to use her in
more stories.
But it's well-loved music duo Avery and Jesse, famous for their duet Wouldn't Be Christmas, haven't played together since they went their separate ways years ago. Avery gave up music and opened a beautiful lodge in a snowy Vermont town, while Jesse still tours, struggling to find the same kind of success they had as a duo. When fate brings them together over the holidays at Avery's lodge, just in time for the annual Yuletide Festival, can the magic of Christmas help reunite them once again? The movie also stars Terrell Rothery, who plays a travel writer visiting Avery's lodge. So, I felt like this movie is like a base hit Hallmark movie. Like, if you just want one in the background that's perfectly pleasant, that inoffensive, like, mm-hmm. there was nothing in here that made me took me to a dark place. It was just like pleasing, and everybody was nice, and I did like that you had a couple sort of near kisses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
couple.
Yeah. And I liked having seen Lane Edwards. That was sort of unexpected.
I love Lane Edwards.
Yeah.
I really do. I really, really like him.
Yeah. We got, me and Amber interviewed him last year in 2018. And we died laughing. I mean, like, tears in my eyes. I was laughing.
Oh, man.
Like, it was so funny. I mean, anything I ever get to do with Amber is always hilarious. But when you can get the best, he was so funny. I absolutely it was really fun to see him in a small role, but he always brings it. And so that was nice to see him. And her friend, her pregnant friend.
Oh my gosh. Susie.
Yeah.
She had a big mouth. She could not stop.
Oh my inappropriate word.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah. Yeah. And I liked that, that Jesse, like, saw that there was no sense of like a lie or reveal or any kind of, like, I felt like the conflict was pretty immediately recognized and immediately wanted to deal with it, which I appreciate.
Yes. I so appreciated, like, oh, she looked upset. So he like was like, oh, okay, let me go find her and like talk to her about it like an adult. Like, thank you.
Like an adult. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Communications, how we solve problems. Like, yes, I was for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I thought the song was perfectly nice, and I liked him singing. He did This Christmas, I think, earlier in the movie. Mm-hmm. Did get a little bit of that.
Yeah.
It's definitely more of an R&B style than we typically get from Hallmark.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I thought it was nice, and I think they both have nice voices. And I thought they had okay chemistry. It wasn't the best, but I thought it was okay, in my opinion. And so, all in all, I would give this one 3 crowns. It's not the best, but I thought it was entertaining enough. What about you, Anne? What would you say?
Well, I checked my story. I gave it a very high score. I said 4.5 crowns, which I'm trying to remember how much I liked it, but it's like, so watch so many, it's like I can't remember how I felt right after. But well, I must have been on such a high, and I, you know, it was two diverse characters, which we don't see on Hallmark a lot, and I'm familiar with both of them, so that probably increased my rating as well.
There's a lot to like, so I understand.
And they had some sweet moments, and I enjoyed it a lot. So it was good.
Yeah, it had a lot of sweet moments.
My only thing was that the storyline was very basic, and so I think for the storyline that it was, I think they definitely elevated it a lot, because the storyline alone, I'm like, you know, save the.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree. Yeah. What about you, Cammy? What would you give it?
I don't know. Like Anne said, it was very, very basic. And so I admit I don't know either of them from any other projects. And so even though I thought both of them were very beautiful people, and I really loved Jesse's voice in particular, when he started singing at first, mm-hmm. at the beginning of the movie, I went, wow, he's good. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I didn't have a specific problem with it. I just was a little bored. Mm-hmm. It didn't capture me the way I really love to be captured, you know? And so, but there was nothing particularly wrong with it. It just didn't hook me. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it somewhere between a 2.5 and a 3.
Okay. Very good. All right. Last one we have is Check Into Christmas. And this stars Wes Brown and Rachel Boston.
Yay! I'm sorry. Was that me? Excuse
me. And it's when New York City lawyer Julia Crowley returns to her Rocky Mountain hometown, and her family's lovely inn for the holidays. She finds herself at the center of a generations-old feud with the family that runs the town's other inn. As the ongoing competition between the two inns escalates, forbidden romance blossoms between Julia and Roger Mason, whose family runs the inn that is her family's big competitor. So this movie for me, I felt like there was an old school Hallmark appeal to this movie. It felt like something from, like, I don't know, like 2007. Hallmark to me.
Can you tell me what that means exactly? Just because I wasn't watching in 2007, so I'm just curious. Maybe other listeners are like me, so.
No, I appreciate that. No, just in the sense that I feel like in the past they were a little more over the top in the storylines and a little more silly in the storylines. Like,
yeah,
I don't know that you have something like Very Merry Mix-Up, or even then, that wasn't even that long ago, but just something that's a little bit more silly.
Yeah.
And I felt like this embraced that and just kind of had fun with it. And I appreciated that.
It didn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah. And I feel like they've really been, you know, taking a lot of workplace comedies and a lot of that are, there's sort of a little bit of a serious side to them, which can be fine and enjoyable. And I don't know, there was a bonkers element to this movie that I appreciated. And this was written by Anna White, who also the Christmas Made to Order last year had also, I think, a little bit of that sort of bonkers element to it with
Alexa and Jonathan.
Yes, Jonathan Bennett. Like the way that I felt like he was just a little silly. His character.
Yeah, he was.
His characters are always silly, but that was probably one of the most serious characters he's ever played. He played a corporate guy. I went, whoa, Jonathan Bennett is playing a corporate guy.
Yeah, that's true.
But then he went into the silliness. Yeah.
But almost every scene, I felt like he was kind of winking at us and winking at the camera. And that's kind of how I felt here. And it was refreshing to me. And so I liked that. But I don't know, Anne, what did you overall think about this one?
Oh my gosh. I really, really enjoyed this movie. and I don't know if it was because we had just talked to Wes, so I know how much he likes to do humor. And I was just laughing so much because it was just his banter and the things he was saying was just so funny. I was just laughing. And so I feel like it's such a great mood because I'm just like laughing the whole time I am. And Rachel Boston is wonderful. So I really enjoyed this movie. I thought the chemistry was great. The banter was great. I liked the, you know, the plotting with the, you know, to get the families to, you know, talk to each other and be cordial with each other. And I just, I thought it was a solid movie, a great movie.
Yeah. What about you, Kimmy? What did you think?
This was my favorite one of the four. A very close second was Cherished Memories, but I loved this one. I'll be completely honest. Yesterday, when I watched it, the day had gone horribly. And so I really needed to laugh and I really needed to have a feel-good movie. But this one completely delivered. The Romeo and Juliet aspect, it has to be done carefully. It has to be done well because it is really, really used a lot. But I thought they did it so well, you know, and just the fact that they were constantly winking at each other and yeah. winking at the camera, you know, it was almost like they were winking at the camera. Like, shh, want to accidentally bump into
you. So funny.
Yeah, all the espionage.
Yeah, it was just, it was funny. And then him knocking, quote unquote, with the snowballs and like, I don't know, it's kind of late. Okay, I'll just keep knocking, you know? It was just funny. And oh my gosh, they had one of the best trip and fall moments I have seen in a long time. Because so often, it's really, really obvious.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, well, yep, there it is. But I don't know. Maybe it's something about just the way that Wes and Rachel did it. Number one, their dynamic duo has to be seen again, because I think we have found another perfect pairing. They were the perfect couple I didn't even know about. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, they were incredible. So when she did that trip, number one, it looked totally legitimate because she was holding the sign and she was trying to get down. And she wasn't even trying to lift a box or anything. She was trying to get down and then she just tripped on it, you know, yeah. and then she fell right into him. And then they laughed about it. There's a step there. Yeah, there's a step there. Yeah.
I don't think that we've actually had a Romeo and Juliet type plot that I can think of, at least since the first Autumn in the Vineyard movie. But the difference...
No, in Hallmark it hasn't been done, but just I'm talking about overall.
Yeah,
and overall it can be old.
They've just, yeah, for sure. They've just moved away from anything that feels a little campy, a little over the top for the most part. But anyway, they tend to not do that kind of stuff. But the difference between this, which I enjoy the first Autumn in the Vineyard, they were kind of buying into the fight at least a little bit at first, because they both purchased the property and so they were both kind of mad at each other and both kind of, whereas like in this case they seemed completely disinvested in the feud from the very beginning, and there was just this cute little, I don't know, kind of sitting aback and laughing at these ridiculous humans.
Like, yeah, they were laughing at their families. Like, yeah. Can you believe this? What the?
And then an early kiss.
Oh my gosh. And it was so beautifully done, because it was done right then. So often with a trip, a kiss does not follow. You know, they just say, oh, I gotta go.
And yeah.
So putting those two together was brilliant. I have to say one thing before we move on. When she says, just a Crawley looking out for a Mason, I was tweeting in the tweet fest, and I said, just a Crawley looking out for a Mason, asking him to love her.
Yeah, all right. I also,
what ends up happening? Right?
I loved her sister and his brother's little feud like
Grand Marshal.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I could have watched
that. Was
him,
so funny,
like, giving out buttons and being like a nerd the whole, that was so funny to me. And I loved him. He did a good job with that part. And and so that was really, really good. And
can we do a shout out to Richard Karn?
Yeah, he was
holy
a lot of fun.
Holy mackerel. Had no idea he was going to be in it.
Yeah.
And so then, did you notice that number one, his name was Tim? And number two, he was trying to outdo people with lights and decorations. I almost expected that power outage to be because of something he did.
Yeah, that was really funny when she sort of sabotaged.
That was funny.
Oh, it was hysterical. It was just all around, you know, I mean, I hate to use the word perfection, but I absolutely adored it. It was just all around a really great movie.
when, I mean, and I feel like we can all kind of, if we're honest with ourselves, we can all relate to that, like sitting back and just kind of watching your family be somewhat ridiculous. Yes! I think, be like, oh my gosh, yes, just whatever, you're crazy. And so there was that attitude that was really fun. And just even like the cute little things, like I love it in these Hallmark movies, and I feel like they've been doing better this year than last year when they actually have the couples dating, because a lot of times, because they know each other from high school or whatever, they don't have them actually like go on a date. And this, like, not only was it go on a date, and she's like, what do you have against dinner? Like, that was,
oh my gosh, that was so funny. I just love that. I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
And it's dinner. What do you have against dinner?
Yeah. But it was like dinner, like secret sleuther dinner. Like, it was, that made it even cuter, I thought. And then her grandma was sweet. And
yeah. Oh my gosh, I love that actress. I've seen her in other projects, and she is just, she's not really well known in Hallmark. I think this might be her first Hallmark film, but she was so natural. She took on the grandmother role perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barta Heiner really is her name. And job. I just, oh.
I agree. And yeah, and then the dancing scene. Get out of here.
So many great dancing scenes. Oh, that was great. I could feel the warmth coming from the screen. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is like really good.
And the fact that they didn't even try to hide it, you know, they just started dancing. Boom! You know, they're within inches of each other.
Yeah, it was good. I loved it. And both had to work together to defeat this, you know, this group big enemy.
Bad guy.
Yeah. And so then they decide to, in the end, work together, and then they're going to let the otherwise, I would normally be like, hey, yeah, right. They're not going to be able to work together. But the fact that they're putting Wes's character in charge of the new inn, I'm like, okay, it'll work. It'll be fine. And
yeah, he's not like in the feud or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of the feud,
yeah. And she gets the promotion chance, and he was supportive of that, which I always appreciate.
No big breakup moment again. Love that.
When she's
there,
not
can
asked-
be drama. There can be drama without a huge breakup, and there can be conflict without it.
Well, I mean, and she's not asked to choose to make her career over a man, which is always good. And so she decides that she's going to move back and start her own firm. And there you go. And it was really cute. I really enjoyed it. I would give, let's see, where did I, let me see one quick.
While you're looking, can we just say, did your heart just break when they were talking about her going back? I mean, one thing that was missing was tears streaming down their faces, but once again, I talked about this with Casey, but the whole nose thing, and that sounds horribly wrong, but just the way that his nose was buried in her hair, and it was almost like he was breathing her in because she was gonna be gone soon.
Oh my gosh, I melted into a puddle.
It was very spoon worthy. I agree with you for sure. So
I was dying inside.
So I also give this a 4 stars. I really enjoyed it. So what about you, Anne? What would you give it?
I gave it 4.75, so it's right close to that 5 for me. I was just so feel good and so funny. Like, it was just like, this is a great movie. Like, watch with your family and just like laugh and just feel your heart. Just like, it was just so great.
Yeah. Cammie, what about you?
I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm giving it a 5.
All right. Nice.
I love it. One more thing I have to say, because we were talking about her giving up her career. I tweeted in the tweet fest, I may be called a traitor to the modern woman, but who wants to go be a boring lawyer when you got that back home?
Yeah, right. Just... You can be a boring lawyer anywhere.
You can be a boring lawyer anywhere.
Yes.
So, all right. We did a poll on our Twitter, and we have of all these four movies, of which they're favorite, and we have Check Into Christmas as the strong favorite, 69%.
Nice.
So, okay, yeah. Yes. And our good friend Lisa, she says Check In is my favorite of the year so far because it could have easily fallen into Save the End tropes with bitter rivalries, dramatic reactions, etc. I loved that despite everything, the families actually kind of liked each other and that there were no games between the leads. Well, no dating games between the leads. The other games in the movie were silly and fun. And then Caroline says, Check Into Christmas is my favorite from Hallmark Channel this year. Wes and Rachel together was everything I didn't know I needed. The flirty banter right from the beginning was great. And an early kiss, so good. And Brian Auer says, the problem is, do we want Wes and Rachel or Paul Campbell and Rachel in all of our future movies? And that is a very challenging question.
For me personally, I'm going with Wes. I liked her and Paul together, but actually I thought that she and Wes had the better chemistry. Mm-hmm. If we're comparing just the two.
Just those two, yeah.
Maybe we can keep Paul with Kimberly Susted.
Yeah.
And then we can be the new combos. So Lauren, as you go, she says, Check Into Christmas was my favorite. Such great chemistry. The family feud was silly and fun. Not taken too seriously by the lead characters. Cherished Memories was my second favorite. Good story for a sequel. And it was so fun to visit these characters again. Nadia says, I haven't seen our Christmas love song. Christmas duet was lovely. Loved Check Into Christmas a lot. But my top favorite is Cherished Memories. Wonderful job with the sequel. I want a guy like Aiden.
He doesn't.
He says, I want a guy like Ryan / Wes Brown too.
Once again, who doesn't?
Laura Anne Marie says, Cherished Memories. I loved Darcy and Aiden's love story so much. And Anne Riddle says, enjoyed the music played a major role in A Christmas Duet and our Christmas love song. But if I have to choose, I would say A Christmas Duet. Maybe it's the chemistry between the leads or the lighter feel of the movie, but I cannot put my finger on why. And then finally, Jonathan Garza says, Check Into Christmas, Rachel Boston and Wes Brown, enough said. So there we
Bingo.
Go. And thank you so much, everybody, for sharing your comments and thoughts. Really appreciate it. And thank you to so much for coming on and doing this episode. I really appreciate it. And we hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And so Cammie, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Cammie Drama Girl, Cammie spelled K-A-M-I. And on Facebook, I have the Hooked Hardy Facebook page and my blog is hookedhardy.com.
Great. And Anne, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at awscott21.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So make sure to check that out. I'll be reviewing all of the latest films this holiday season. And so I'd really appreciate it. And you can follow the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, and YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We sure appreciate that as well. Oh, make sure to check out our merch store. We're going to have some Black Friday deals, some stuff coming up. We've got all kinds of designs for the Hardy and the Hallmarkie in your life. And we have exclusive holiday merch from artist Jessica Miller. So we'll have all that linked for that in the description section. We also have our patron group, which we sure appreciate any support that we can get on in that level. That all will be in the description section. So thank you guys so much and have a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.